Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hey, Be Nice, that sounded like a party to me. That was Ramsey Lewis with Jungle Strut. And they were doing some kind of strutting. Well, we got a show today for you. We're going to have guests on the show today that's calling in. I believe he's already called in. And D-Nice is going to be hooking it up on the music, so I'm going to play another song. We're playing Mr. Magic with Grover Washington. Well, this
Well,
is, yes, on the Gospel Jazz Connection. You there, D-Nice?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
All right, good, good, good. Then we're ready to start it, pump it. Hello, world, hello, city, and welcome to the Gospel Jazz Connection, where each and every week what we do is we bring you the best in smooth jazz, the best in gospel jazz, but best of all, we bring you on a magical mystery adventure. The journeys is what we call it. We do no interviews on our show. We do journeys. As we talk about the journeys that people that are ordinary take to become extraordinary. And so for the next hour, we're going to bring you no less than the best of the music and the best of the interviews. And today we have a young man that we're going to hear about that's been lighting up the screen in several different ways, not only in films, but in television on smaller screen, and also doing the circuit, poet circuit, which is spoken word. We know it as spoken word. Everybody else calls it poetry. In our community, it's spoken word because we talk about what we feel. And today, I'm glad to present you, ladies and gentlemen, around the world and back. Help me welcome Mr. Benson Ward. Be on. Let me see if we can just bring him in right quick, right there. That should do it. Mr. Ward, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How are you?
Man, I am blessed, brother. Despite whatever's going down around us, whether it's rain, snow, presidents that we're looking at kind of sideways, or the jobs that we go to that we really would like a raise or promotion, this is the world we live in. Don't you agree?
I agree 100%. I agree. Thank
I appreciate you,
for
you taking
me.
This time. Man, I appreciate you taking the time off because I was looking at your bio slightly, and I don't do that a lot because I like to just sit back and talk to people and find out how their journey goes. But I see that you've had your hands in a little everything, so I know you're a man of very knowledgeable fulfillment. Let's put it to you like that. You've done quite a few things, and we're just going to take some time today. And now that, like I said, it's been like over a week now, isn't it, that we have found out who's going to be running our country for the next, you know, 2 years, so to speak.
And I still haven't watched any regular TV since then.
You know, you and everybody else, I think we just, a lot of people I see are out there burning TVs now. It's like, forget the riots, we're burning our television sets. But
it's hard.
Man, isn't it though? Isn't it though?
It's hard. You know, I've as much as people love the show that I was on, The Walking Dead, and, you know, I was campaigning for Hillary. I like to speak my mind. And, you know, if I talk about God, that's what I want to do. And it was some real big Trump supporters said, well, you know, we love you. You know, you're acting. We love your character on the show, but we have to delete you. I said, well, do me a favor and make sure you delete me and block me right now. Because I'm going to say what's on my mind. So,
and I love it. I mean, we're in a world nowadays, man, where people are just trying to, and that's what you can do. What does it say? The saying says, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Mm-hmm. And we can agree to disagree. You know,
yes,
we can agree to disagree.
Yes.
But let's still be respectful. It's getting to the point that people, you know, are so into Trump that they're willing to cuss you out. They're willing to spit on you. They're willing to fight you. But what you have to realize, this isn't the 50s and the 60s where people are just going to take that mess and allow you to get away with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole new era out here, man. But the, you know, as you're looking at the trends of seeing, this is unprecedented. You got an election after the election, you got the whole country protesting and rioting. You know, it's like, what do you say? What happened really? Has Russia really had that big hand in hacking all of us and we all were asleep or something like that? Because as many people I talked to that said, oh, no, we just can't take this rhetoric. I'm saying, okay, out of all these people, somebody either had to be lying, a whole lot of people had to be lying, because you don't know what they do when they walk behind that little glass curtain, huh?
That's right. And I just pray that the people that was out there that's out there rioting and protesting, all of those people at least voted Now, if you didn't vote, get your butt back in the house. You have no reason to be out there saying nothing.
Right, right, yeah. But then again, it speaks highly about you guys' profession, too, because this man came from that, television aspect, wanting to fire everybody.
Oh, man. Imagine how we feel. It's like, we all feel like we can run for president.
When I see your name on the ballot, believe me, I'm going to check it. If it wasn't so crazy, this would really be humorous with it. You could really write a script on this one here. This is insane. But like I said, you know, we're in a world, man, to where you got to do you. And, you know, no matter what you stand on, you got to follow through. Because, you know, we're in a world now that nobody cares anything about anybody, anything. Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he thought he was going to win. I honestly sit there and I feel like he's sitting there at home like, I can't believe I won. What am I supposed to do now?
Yeah, yeah. I was telling somebody when I looked at the face of him when he came down the day that him and his family came up to take that little bow, everybody was in a state of shock, it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I looked at him a little closer, when they did the eye contact with him again, it looked like somebody had stole something and told a lie. Like,
right.
No, I didn't eat that cherry pie, and it got pie all over their face. Everybody's whole reaction was the same, like, what are we doing here? And I'm like, wow, really?
I saw on social media today saying that his wife and his son won't be living in the White House. What is going on? I just don't understand this.
Man, dysfunction from the highest level all the way to the bottom. You know what I'm saying? That's wild.
It's embarrassing.
Really?
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
I really and truly feel like other countries are laughing at us and that they don't respect us anymore.
Right.
So,
you know,
I mean,
you're right.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, we can sit here and we can pray until God's sitting right next to us, but in the same breath, what are we going to do until then? We have to figure out something, because the people that he's hiring are the people who isn't for the black people. They're not for the Hispanic people. It's, to me, when they say, let's make America great again, they're really saying, let's make America white again.
That's exactly what they were saying the whole time. Yep. That's correct. Well, they did say that the South was going to rise again. They kept on saying that, but nobody was listening back in the day. And I see it. I see it coming to full fruition, man. So, you know, I just kind of like watch the people around me, and I watch what I do and what I say, because, you know what I'm saying? Otherwise, I'm gonna be right there with them, busting people inside the head. So for me to... You know what I'm saying? So for me, I just got to stay in my lane and do what I do as best as I can. And that's why the shows like this one here, where we talk about, you know, different journeys and, you know, find out where people are coming from, where they want to go. Because believe me, that man doesn't know where he's going to go. He's just looking at the appointments he's making and his kids trying to get the access to, you know, all the secret documents or whatever. And if that's not the biggest conflict of interest, now you're in the business world and you want to be able to find out what's happening at Wall Street and what's happening all behind the overseas markets and stuff like that. What does it tell me? He just probably ran just to have that worldwide dominance so that his companies could be all over the world. And then he ended up profiling the people and they ate it up, and suddenly he's in the White House and he's like, you know, he didn't want that. It doesn't pay him enough to be sitting up in there.
No, and look at the stock market. The stock market went down the night that he got elected.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that should be telling you something right there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the people still just wondering, and like I said, what's going on? I am too. All of my Hispanic friends, man, are just paranoid right now.
I feel sorry for our president, Barack Obama. He's leaving. This is how he's leaving. He has to give the keys to this man.
Yeah, and you know he's hating that.
I mean, and not in a million years he would have thought that he would have had to turn the everything over to him.
Right.
So I don't know. It's just disappointing.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we're just going to take it to a lively spot right now. All right, like I'm saying at the start of the show, we don't do interviews here. We just chop it up. And so we're talking about the journey. And I know that you've been in the game for a minute. So let's take it back a few steps and figure out you know, where you're from. Let's figure out at what point in your life you decided that this is going to be your bread and butter in acting. So let's just take it back to start and just walk your way through. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Ward's going to talk to us, and I give you the mic, my brother. Take it away.
Well, you know what, D-Man? Honestly, I always say I didn't pick acting. Acting picked me. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Well, you know, I'm from Dayton, Ohio. Growing up, I was a basketball star, and I used to dance in a rap group. And right after high school, I didn't, you know, I had letters from every college you can think of to go play basketball, but I didn't want to go straight to college. I wanted to pursue my entertainment career as a dancer in a rap group. So we did some tours. We opened up some shows for like MC Hammer and NWA, Special Ed. We had a nice show, but the record sales didn't do good. But we was always gone somewhere. And after a couple of years, I said, forget this. I'm going, you know, one day a basketball coach had called my parents and asked me, you know, if I still play basketball. And they said, yeah. And what happened is I ended up going to school in Chicago. The guy hadn't seen me play in 3 years, but offered me a full ride. And I ended up going back to school in Chicago. And if you know anything about the Midwest, working at GM, it's like you've made it. That's the thing to do. So after being at school for like 2.5 years, I got a call that summer to go work at GM. And I didn't go back to school. I'd already had 2 kids. So, you know, I was looking like I got to do what I got to do for my family. So I went, start working at General Motors, and I hated it. I hated it with a passion. But one thing I could take from GM is they taught me how to be on time. Because if your butt was late, your butt was getting fired.
Mm.
So after working there, you know, I ended up getting hurt on the job, and then they told me I couldn't come back. Didn't even give me no reason or nothing. So I'm fighting it. I'm fighting it, but in the same breath, I still had to do something. So I started working at a place called Champ Sports in Dayton, Ohio. Became the number one salesman in the district, and they said, you're doing such a great job. We want to train you as assistant manager, but you have to move to Columbus. I said, all right, cool. That's Columbus was only like 50 minutes from Dayton. Moved to Columbus, became the number one salesman in the district there. And one day the general manager came. He said, you're doing such a great job. You know, I had to come meet you and see what you were about. How far do you want to take it in the company? I said, man, I would like to have a position like yours one day. 2 weeks later, I was fired. And I talked to my manager, Ben. I said, Ben, what, man, why are you letting me go? And he said, Vince, whatever you said to the general manager, that's why I have to let you go. And he said, if you repeat it, I just deny it. So now I'm depressed. Like, you know, I'm thinking about the rap group. I'm thinking about college. I'm thinking about GM. I'm thinking about Champs. I'm like, what is going on with my life? You know, why is all these things happening? And so probably like 3 weeks later, I went and saw my very first play. And at this time, I'm 30 years old. And I had never seen a play in my life. No, about 28. I had never seen a play in my life. And that day, I fell in love with acting. And they, you know, afterwards, they was like, did you enjoy the show? I was like, yeah, you know, it was really nice. And that company, they was like, well, we're having auditions for the company. And, you know, in a couple of weeks. You know, if you're an actor, why don't you come back and audition? I ain't never acted or nothing. I'm like, all right. So I went back and I auditioned. I got a part. And I started doing like some, you know, I started off doing plays for, it's called Living the Dream Theater in Columbus, Ohio. And I went on my first movie audition for a movie called A Symbol of Love, which was an independent film. And I ended up getting the lead role. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'm on to something. What all this was going on, Champs tried to give me my job back, and I told him no. I found something that I love to do. So after that, you know, a couple months went past, and the movie Traffic with Michael Douglas was being filmed in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I auditioned. I got a part in there. My scene was with Michael Douglas. So, you know, after that, I told my parents, I said, I'm moving back to Dayton. I'm going to get a little job, and I'm going to save my money, and I'm moving to L.A. And it's like, you don't even know anybody in L.A. I said, it doesn't matter. I'm going. And so by the time it was time for me to move to L.A., GM had cut me a check for $10,000 telling me not to go back, not to come back. So I always tell people, what you think is a negative might be a positive. It might be a way of God opening a door that you never knew was there for you. And so I've been here in Los Angeles, California since 2000, been here 16, going on 17 years.
Right.
So wow. That's how I broke into the industry. And that's why I say acting picked me, I didn't pick it.
Right. Now, when you were doing the dancing and stuff back in the day, you were doing this from the Ohio side, huh? And the music aspect of it?
Yeah, I was in a rap group. We were signed to It's Your Band Records. It was the same record label as Vanilla Ice.
Right.
And we would do, like, you know, little tours or whatnot. But, you know, I was a dancer. I wasn't rapping. I really wasn't making no money. But I was young, and I was, you know, just seeing the world. Well, not even the world. These cities and states.
Right. Well, back then, that was the world right there, huh?
Right, right.
But the tenacity, that takes a lot of forbearance and tenacity, man. Because like I said, when you look and say, okay, who came out of Ohio? I mean, I'm sure there's some great. Now, the one that we know, everybody knows, was Arsenio Hall came out of Cleveland. I mean, out of Ohio. Let's put it in Ohio. I don't know what part.
Halle Berry.
Out of Ohio. Yeah, something like that. But I mean, obscure compared to people that really have launched careers out of maybe New York, but Los Angeles better than that. But to be a dancer and to just do little things coming out of Ohio, man, that must have, I mean, that wasn't like every other block people were looking for dancers or they were looking for this or that. I mean, it had to be at times heart-wrenching saying, okay, where, how can I get to another level? Even it was starting out there.
Yeah, but you know, I think I've always had the entertainment blood in me. You know, even when I used to play basketball in high school, I would entertain the crowd after I dunk. You know, I do all kind of like flavor dances, kid and play type stuff. So I always wanted to entertain, but I never ever thought about acting.
I got you. So when you're doing this one here and making your little, now the industry, even the music industry, and even the dance industry now is just metamorphosed from the way it was then. I mean, as you know, I mean, you were in the middle of it, but you know, have we really come that far with the entertainment, with the music aspect of it from when it was there, with rap or game from when it was there? I mean, it seems like, in my mind, for my professional opinion, I think it was a lot more put into the rap game back there, the dance game. I mean, because you didn't have video you could watch. You didn't have learning videos to teach you. Now you can get on YouTube and not be able to have two left feet and learn how to get some steps under you. So back then when it was a part time when you had to invent moves, you know what I'm saying? You had to try them out. Man, I'm sure that was a taxing time, too.
Well, me and my dance buddy, I'm 6'4". My dance partner was 6'5". And wow. I remember laying in my parents' bed one day. And my dad's like, he's like, Vince, turn on the TV. I want you to see this guy. And I'm like, you know, I'm halfway asleep. I'm like, what guy? And he turned the TV on, and it was MC Hammer. And my eyes lit up, and I was like, oh, my God.
Right.
That dude is killing it. So what we used to do, we would, like, take MC Hammer, his dancers, Heavy D and the Boys, Big Daddy Kane, you know, Scoop and Scrap Love for MC Light's dancers, and we would take some of their moves and put our touch on it because, once again, I'm 6'4", and he's 6'5".
Right.
So, you know, people would call us like the Twin Tower Dancers and all types of stuff. If it was something dealing with cold, that they always put that on us. But we were called Night and Day.
Right, okay.
So we would put our own spin on it. Like today, you turn on the social media and you see all these Juju Challenge and all these different like little dances people do. And one thing I can respect about it, at least it's not that twerking stuff. At least that's going
right
out. Because you don't want these young ladies doing all that twerking. At least with these challenges, they're doing something that they have to really think about. And sometimes they're doing it with their parents. So I think that's
right.
Cool. You know, in the rap game, it's like, some of this stuff, I don't even understand what they're saying half the time. The beats might be nice, but that's about it. But nothing compares to the old school stuff of back in the day. Nothing.
That's real talk. That's real talk. That's real talk. See, because you could hear the beats and you could just hum them, and we knew the words. We knew everything.
Right.
It's four letter words and degrading mm-hmm. women. I mean, you know, they just that's what it is. But I'm telling you, they do got some dope beats now.
Yeah.
You know,
sometimes they even words. It's just what did he just say?
Right. But the beat be bumping their head to it, whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we've come through a metamorphosis here, but have we really gone anywhere? And like I said, now look at the resurgence of all these old school groups coming back.
Yeah, and that's
everybody's
good.
Everybody's
coming
back. I
love going to see Jodeci, Silk, H-Town.
Yeah.
You know, there ain't nothing like those shows, you know what I mean? R.
That's
Kelly.
True.
So we need that.
History repeats itself. And so I think when you start going to another level, then you got to go back to the start. And when you go
uh-huh.
back to the start, you say, oh, this was the basis of what it came, you know, where it is. And when I go to these old school concerts and hear, you know, I'm popping from the Brat or just hear something from any of them that come back to Jodeci and at the Taste of Soul this year, they had, Troop. And I'm like,
oh,
Troop?
Yeah.
You know, and
oh,
they got
yeah.
to
spread my wings.
Yes, indeed. These guys, it's like if they're still alive, they're trying to be in a resurgence. I mean, I am not mad at them, man, because they were bringing something to the table. Salt Pepper, everybody that's still alive is still sounding good.
Let me tell you something. The best concert I've seen was probably about a month ago. The best concert I've seen in my life was the Bad Boys tour over there at the Forum. It was the last night, and when I tell you Puff Daddy brought out everybody, he had so many special guests. He had Snoop, Dr. Dre, Mary J, Jodeci, DMX. He had so many
Ooh.
Special guests come out, and they wasn't even on the card.
Oh, man, like that.
Mad. But I ain't going to lie, I was mad at first because it was an hour and a half late. But when that thing took off, ooh-wee, it flowed, man. It flowed.
Wow. That's what, and then my boy, Alonzo got this little club he got popping out here in L.A. You been to Alonzo's club yet? What is it? I'm going to remember what it is. The Hall of something. And it's like off of Avalon, and I think they just moved it. But from the Wrecking Crew, Lonzo. I mean,
yeah,
then,
I know
like,
that's what
song,
you're talking about.
Man, and then when they did that, what was it? Straight Outta Compton, when they did the Straight Outta Compton movie. And
oh,
whatever,
yeah. When
and started shining
the
light back.
They
yeah.
did that Maverick Flat when they shot that.
Man, I'm telling you, man, the old school, see, because then you got to talk about all the old school clubs, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What was it, some of these
well,
clubs.
Well, I didn't get here to 2000, I didn't get here to 2000, so.
Okay, I got you. I was just one club where they had the Four Torches, they had one up there by the LA, by the airport, Ms. M probably remembers this one, and you had telephones on the table. And when you saw a shorty, you wanted to holler at me, and you said, pick up the phone.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I'm telling you, man, them were the days, you know what I'm saying? When it was like, all the clubs, man, they were like the little dives, man. But it was cool, though. I went to a cat, club one time. Some cat invited me to, man, old school cat invited me to this club, man. And I'm going to tell you something. This is the hottest club I've ever seen, man, but it was downstairs. In the cat in the Catholic Church.
What?
It was called BJ's, right? I'm gonna have to check and see, but this was over here off of
BJ's at the Catholic Church. All right.
Yeah, but it was right there off of Crenshaw and Washington, and you got the swap meet that's there now. So I mean, during the daytime, cars are loaded there. You know what I'm saying? Because they got a big strip mall. But now I'm coming through there one day about 3 o'clock in the morning, right? And the parking lot's full. Okay, now 5-0 should have known something was popping, right? So I said, well, man, I'm still wanting to get my groove on. You know what I'm saying? It's early to me, so I whip in. Cats take the car and they gonna ballet it for you. And I said, well, I'm not paying you no money for ballet. He said, no, don't worry about it. It's that we just gotta know how to car, you know, get everything in parked in the parking lot, right? To keep it keep it legal. I'm thinking, keep it legal? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. What you mean keep it legal? So when they shot us through this little side door, and when we went down through the door, right? We had to come out the other side and go to this front door. And I'm looking up, and there's this big, you know, everything is like hewn out of stone, you know, in the Catholic places, right? And I'm like, wait a second. There's a statue over here. This, I said, wait a second. This has got to be, I'm saying Catholic now, right? But I'm like, but you go through there, and when they took you to this little hallway, and then it opened up into this little big-sized room, right? The red light was on and whatever, and people getting their drink on. And I'm like, what? But that wasn't the biggest thing, man. They had the music popping. But then, man, we were back there talking to Alonzo and a couple other parts of our. We were just sitting back there chopping up, man. And they had this little, off the side of the little room, man. And the priest walked through to get his little cut. He came out with his little envelope. I said, oh, man, we are truly
in it took him back when the police gave the cut.
Man, I'm telling you, man, it was the funniest thing. Because after that, I was like, man, this was the club telling everybody. Oh, they said, oh, BJ's? Oh, we know about that, man. That's been going on for years. I'm like, where am I being?
So man, that cut is for when you're not having that liquor license.
Man, you know,
liquor license can be expensive.
Woo, tell me, man. I'm telling you, the old school, man. I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like the old school, man, because cats were real. You know what I'm saying?
But you know something I ran into in Oklahoma recently?
What?
It was something different. It was old school. But it was new school as well. And what it was is, it was an arcade. You paid $10 to get in, and you had Pac-Man, Ms. Pac-Man, Galaga, Centipede, all the old school games was for free. They had a bar, and they had a DJ that was jamming up in there. But it was really nice though.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Man, I'm telling you, people get inventive when you're out there trying to find something to get involved with, man. I'm telling you, but there's nothing like, you know, dealing with real people. You know?
Yeah,
and man, I'm telling you, you've been talking about a few things. Now let's roll back, man. Now you got the acting bug. Get bitching now. Okay, so you started. What was your first start? I saw you did your first play. Now where did you go from that opening? Once you got involved with the acting bug, then where did you go from there?
Well, after shooting Traffic, that's what made me come here. And then once I got here, I shot a movie called Ocean's 11. Then I did this movie, Bringing Down the House, and I've been on Girlfriends, True Blood, Wilfred, Sight, NCIS, CSI, CSI Miami. And you know what? For me, man, even though I've been on a lot of stuff, I'm still not where I want to be, but I'm not where I used to be. Because my goal And life is so much bigger than the stuff that I've been on. You know, my goal is to win an Oscar, man. I really and truly want to win an Oscar, not just play Oscar from The Walking Dead, you know.
Right, right.
And
I want
people to feel like, you know what, if Vincent can do it, so can I. Because I've never even taken any acting classes.
Wow.
I just went off of true passion and love of the industry, of my career, what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be the best. I don't want to come in second on nothing. But I know how to stay patient. I know how to, you know, still be faithful and just wait my time. Because there's been times that I've been passed on stuff, and I'm like, ain't no way in the world that dude should have beat me.
Right.
But you know what? It was that person's time. It wasn't maybe that wasn't for me to have. I don't want to just be being on something and have three or four words or just be on there three or four episodes. I want to be on it from the beginning to the end. And I really want to feel like I'm a part of something.
Uh-huh. Right.
So
no, I'm with you. But see, then you took a run at theater too.
Yeah, I've done a lot of plays. I've done a lot of plays with, I'm sure you might know him, Don B. Welch over at the Wall Street Bell. And it got to a time that, man, I was doing probably five or six plays, different plays, in 1 year. And I had to calm down on that because it's like that started to take a lot of my time and take a lot of my brain cells. Because, you know, I ain't no young cat, you know what I mean? So, you know, you get to the point where you be like, where my keys at? Man, they're right here in my hands.
well, at least we know now that they legalized marijuana, so some people that walk around like that, man, they got an excuse now, huh?
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, when you're working that hard, man, to where you, but plays, man, they're very taxing because you got to be in the moment at all times.
But I love them, man. I love the reaction that I get from people when I do plays. I remember I did a play called My Brother's Keeper, and it had Loretta Devine in it, Vanessa Bell, Calloway, Ernest Thomas, Flex Alexander. And my parents have always been very supportive of me, man. I'm very close to my family. And they had came out here, and the play was at the Wall Street Bell, and my character was off the chain. I mean, people hated me. And I remember going for the curtain call, you know, Vincent Ward is Rico. And people was just booing me. And I looked over and I see my parents booing me. I was like, okay, my parents booing me now. I know I did something.
Right. You brought it up.
Right.
You got to love it. So you move over and you try spoken word. Now, where'd that come from?
Say that again now.
No, when you went into trying your hand at spoken word, you've done spoken word too.
Well, you know what, man? Let me tell you something. With me and that, I had a erotic CD out, man. It was called Eargasms. Don't Talk, Just Listen.
Right.
And what happened? How that came about is, you know, if I, you know, dating female or whatnot, I would text her. I used to call myself the king of texting. So I would always text her and put something on her mind and talk crazy or whatnot. And so I would always come up with my little sayings because I never say I'm a poet. I just know what to say to women.
Right.
And so this one particular day, I kept on like doing, you remember the song Moments of Love by Art, what's the Moments of Love, an Art of Noise, that doom, 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 doom. So I will always practice what I was going to say using that beat. So one day my boy was like, man, why don't we just put something together and put it on a CD? Because he does, his name is Cedric. He does music for a lot of people, man. So he came up with some beats for me, and I just came up with all these different stories. I call them stories. And what it was is I was like, a DJ. I had some of my friends call in and request the poem. The poem was actually like the song, and they was calling me as a DJ. So we ended up, you know, putting on CD, man. And before I knew it, one of my friends had me in different cities doing this CD. And I ain't gonna lie, man, I was so nervous because it was raw. I ain't gonna lie. It was raw and to the point. But people loved it.
People
loved it, and people still buy it. It's on CD, baby. It's on iTunes. And I always tell people, if you're a singer or a poet and your stuff ain't at least on iTunes or CD, baby, then you're doing something wrong, because it only take a day to get that done if you're serious about your career.
That's right. No, that's right.
That's how the CD came, Poetry.
Okay, so, Erotic Poetry Part 3, here, guys. Go out and get it today, So you took a break from that. You leaving that part of it alone for a moment, huh?
Yeah, I left that alone, but people still be asking about it and still be buying it. So, yeah, it's on iTunes and CD, baby, man. But the women loved it.
right. That's what I'm talking about. Now, as we sit here in 2016, get ready to walk into 17 in a couple of seconds. What's in the works for you, man? What do you see? I know you want that Oscar, but what they say, you got to crawl before you walk. So, where do we see you at?
I already ain't crawled, man. I'm up. I'm up, and what I'm doing is I'm creating stuff on my own. If somebody gonna give me a chance, I'm gonna create something for myself. And what I'm doing, since I've been doing a lot of horror lately, I'm planning on taking the place of Candyman. So I've gotten with some writers, and we came up with this character named Devereaux. We actually had a production meeting the other day, and a couple of scripts for that. And I want to do, my writing buddy named Michael Johnson, we came up with like 10 feel-good reality shows. None of that ghetto mess, but some feel-good stuff to make you think about, life or whatnot. I thought I had to deal with the Travel Network with one of the shows called Ballin' on a Budget. And it's basically me being a host, taking you to all these different, like, exotic places, really nice places that you think that you can't afford, but I'm going to show you how you can afford it and still be able to have some money in your pocket when you get home to pay some of those bills. Because a lot of times we're going for vacation and we won't do everything we want to do because we're thinking about, oh man, well, that car, that mortgage is due, or that car note is due, or that cell phone. So you won't have as much fun as you want to because you're worried about the bills, but I'm going to show you how to really make your money stretch.
I love it. Balling on the budget. Yeah, we're going to have to put
balling
that in production. That's what I'm talking about, huh?
Because, and I got that from my mom growing up, man. She'd be like, well, why you want that one pair of shoes for $100? We can have these two pair for the same price, or a little cheaper. They look just as nice. I'm like, I'd rather have two pair.
Right.
So
I got you.
That's where balling on the budget comes from.
That's the thing. Now, I know you're looking at the writing. You're doing the production staff, and you're doing the behind the scenes right now, putting these little things together. This is what we're calling the vignettes of your upcoming productions. So, television, movies, all that stuff. You still doing? I know you're still making the bread and butter come through.
Yeah, and I still do a lot of those conventions from The Walking Dead. The big convention that is in San Diego, those things are everywhere, man, the horror conventions. So I still go out. I was just in Bakersfield last week. The conventions have taken me all the way to Australia, London, and we're actually setting up for a new tour for this upcoming year to try to hit more countries. I'm the face and voice of a new coffee called Harmony's Brew. A young lady, black girl, from Miami started a real coffee company, when it comes to the beans and the warehouses and all that other stuff. And they asked me to be the voice and face of it, so I'm the Billy D. Williams of coffee. With Harmony's Brew. Check it out, harmoniesbrew.com.
Yeah, coming to a cafe near you, huh?
That's
I love it. So you get a little production, you get a little marketing, advertisement, FaceTime, and all that. But so you're working real quickly towards your Oscar, huh?
Man, and you know what, man? I want to be able to. I got 9 grandkids, man.
9.
Yeah, I have 9 grandkids. And I want to be that granddad to leave something for my grandkids.
I got you.
You know, I think we need to get back into doing that as well. And I want my kids and my family and peers to be proud, to really watch me and be like, man, he really put in the work. He was patient. He was good to people, loyal. And I really want to see, I want people to see how it's done. And I didn't sacrifice or kiss anybody's butt to get to where I need to be. Mm-hmm. I ain't begging. I ain't doing nothing strange for a little piece of change. I'm not going to straddle no fence. I'm not doing nothing.
Right.
You know, but being patient and working hard, man. And that's what I believe in. I got something I call rise and grind. Every day you got to get up and do something do something positive in your life, or even just be an example to somebody else's life. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to build a positive brand and bring people with me.
No, that's the catch right there, bringing people with you. See, a lot of people just trying to do the solo act. And I ain't seen the solo act that went too far lately, you know what I'm saying? Because you got to be, people need people. And if you don't believe that, you know what I'm saying, somehow you lost it. But, yeah, I was going to ask you to go ahead and give an affirmative word to the kids, man. But you said you gave them a paragraph. If they don't got, if they didn't get this, man, hey, they are lost it. They get void of understanding. Yeah.
You gotta listen.
That's real talk. So you got some projects in the work and whatever. So, you know, so we look forward to having that happen, man. We're looking forward to the Oscars too, man, because we know that with the tenacity and you pushing on like you're doing, I know we're going to see you there. Now, let me tell you something. First and foremost, we don't just do the show on Sundays, man, but we also have a weekly television show that we work with too, right, called Health from the Inside Out, right? And the concept was developed because we want to be able to talk to people along the lines of mental health, physical health, and spiritual health, right? So it just opens it up for me to be able to, you know, talk to people from all walks of life and nationalities and expertise. So without a doubt, man, we're right there by the Beverly Center. Now, everybody in L.A. knows where the Beverly Center is. Probably around the world knows about that. Yeah, so I like
still
to open that.
Close to Grand Lux over here.
Oh man, was that? Oh, come on now, was that the bump, man? I'm telling you, dude.
Oh man, I can't believe it.
Woo, man, yes,
the Grand Lux
was
a slippery floor. You'll break your neck up in that place, Tom.
Yes, you did. Yes, you will, man. It'd be embarrassing if you couldn't catch your balance either. Hey, it's a long fall from 6'5", ain't it?
Man,
because you had all the shorties in there, man, looking too. It's like, wow, yeah, it was good, man. I'm telling you. It was a hot spot. So, I mean, we just got to bring them back, man. You know, everybody doing these reconstructions and redevelopments and you know what I'm saying, combining everything. But you can't – the other place I was thinking about was called the Carolina West, man, where they had the telephones, man. I'm telling you, we've had
Carolina
some stuff.
West.
Yeah. We got to bring some of this stuff back, man. I'm telling you. And I think it's those old school thoughts that's going to help to do that development. But now, like I was saying on Wednesday, man, when I do my television shows every week, man, I've been putting it out to Pam and she's been like, you know, sending people my way. And I appreciate Pam Broussard, man. That's the girl. That's my homie right there. And
thank
so
you,
she was able to get you on with us today, man. And I'm really happy that you called through, man. I really am. And like I said, I'd like to be able to get you an invitation, man, if you want to on the television show. We do it on every Wednesday evenings. So if you got a Wednesday, you're free, man. Then, you know what I'm saying, man, I'd like to see you come on through and let's make it happen, man.
Man, I'm there. My word is my bond. I just don't be talking about it. I'm about it.
I can tell, man. Like I said, man, we're on every Sunday, man. So we want to, you know, my house is your house now, brother. You know what I'm saying? So if you got something new and you want something put out there, man, please, by all means, man, get at us and let's make it happen for you, man. Because you got a great spirit, man, and you got something to say. And I know you got to keep them bills paid because with 9 grandkids, I got one, man, that's running me up a flagpole. So if you got 9.
Hey, mine in Ohio. They there at home with their parents. So, hey.
right. You just the fallback. But I mean, Christmas is coming up too. Hey, Christmas is coming up too, man. And like, woo, that's that one day a year you really got to put out no matter if you got it or not, huh?
Man,
Yeah,
and yeah, they don't go with it's in the mail anymore. They're like, no, I want to see it now. I know what you're talking about. So if somebody wants to reach out, man, and follow your career, man, just take some time, man, and let them know where they can catch up with a brother at.
Man, I'm Vincent M. Ward on everything, all social media. And I have a website, VincentMWard.com. So it's me you're talking to. Ain't nobody running it. It's me. So if you talk crazy, don't get a clap back from me.
You said without a doubt. And if all you ladies out there that want to see, hear some poetry, go get ear gas. It's still on the shelf somewhere out there, huh?
It's there, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Hey, you got to get them snaps, man, no matter where they come from, huh? Whether a penny will equal a dollar if you keep getting enough of them, huh?
Hey, mental stimulation, verbal penetration.
Yes, indeed, man. Just tell the truth about it, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? It was fun talking to you today, man. And if you could give us a minute, man, and just wrap up and tell these kids, man, something real quick before we get out of here, man, what would you tell them? These little young men.
Hey, like I said earlier, you have to rise and grind. Every day, get up every day and do something to better your life. And it doesn't cost to be nice to people. Be respectful, especially the grown folks. Pull your pants up. Stop all the shooting and killing, because people don't come back, and jail is real. And once you get in there, your homeboys and your family ain't going to be in there to save you. So do something to better your life.
I appreciate you, Vincent. Like I said, man, our place is your place, man. So, you know, we're going to look forward to some great things in the future, man. And, you know, continue to holler at me, man. And we're going to do it like that. Ladies and gentlemen, from around the world and back, you have listened to the journey of Mr. Vincent Ward coming to a theater near you. Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Nice. Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate you too, man.
Later.
Yeah. This is the Gospel Jazz Connection, and I'd like to thank Pam Broussard again for bringing all that you bring to us. You're the girl. PR firm, she is the greatest. I'd like to thank First Lady D, who's listening to us. Also, we're going to put our prayers out to Lady D, Dorian Edwards, who is still trying to get well at the hospital. Prayers go out to her. And I'd like to thank you, the listeners, and Miss M for holding it down in the studio. She's getting ready to get us into some music. And before I leave, each and every week I tell you, put God first and everything else will follow. I guarantee you. This is D Nice saying see you next time. Miss M, you ready to go? Let's crank up some music, Miss M. I'm